from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Top of the morning, cybersecurity gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Can you believe it's March already? I feel like we just celebrated New Year's. I feel like we were just talking about our 2024 cybersecurity predictions, only to wake up today and it's March 4th, 2024. And boy, does that set in. We're almost done with the first quarter of this year. And what a quarter it's been. We've got a packed show for all of y'all today. The German military getting hacked and embarrassed and humiliated, potentially leading to massive consequences for Germany, the Russian-Ukrainian war, and so much more, as well as a whole bunch of news, including a reboot of Stuxnet being used for PLCs. All of that on our show this morning. If you have not subscribed to our podcast, please make sure to do so. If you're not following me on Substack, jamesazar.substack.com, that's where you get a lot of exclusive content, including deep dives in a lot of these stories that I do in far more detail. It's written audio, all available there on Substack as well. Now, without further ado, join me for a tradition. Double espresso this morning. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. So let's go ahead and get started with this story coming from Germany, where Russian media on Friday published a 38-minute recording of a WebEx call by German officers discussing weapons for Ukraine and a potential strike by Kiev on the bridge in Crimea, prompting Russian officials to immediately demand an explanation. The day after the release on Saturday, Germany called the video an apparent act of eavesdropping and said it was investigating the matter. On Sunday, Germany's defense minister's first reaction to the publication in Russia was to claim that Russia is conducting an information war aimed at creating division within Germany. This incident is much more than just the interception and publication of a conversation. It's part of an information war that President Putin is waging against the West, apparently. The Kremlin has repeatedly denied accusations of this. However, this was a recording. And the Washington Post is reporting that Germany is now launching an investigation into how did the Russians obtain this classified conversation of German officers, of essentially their military brass, discussing the Russia-Ukraine war. Now, the call was done on WebEx, so it wasn't an in-person call where the audio was leaked through someone in the room. This was a virtual conversation. The audio was first posted on Telegram by Margarita Simonyan, editor-in-chief of the Russian state-controlled broadcaster RT. According to German media reports, the officers used the U.S. communication platform WebEx with invitations for the session sent to their cell phones from an armed forces' landline. Germany is preparing for war with Russia, according to the deputy head of Russia's Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev, the former prime minister, said. And again, this is, look, the Russians have a specific agenda here, and the agenda is to really fuel this up. Now, the cyber element here is significant. One, where are the controls by the German military on these types of calls? How is this going to people's cell phones? I mean, so there's two scenarios here. One, someone intercepted, dialed in, and no one wondered who that number was or who that person is and how many people were on this call, etc. Second option, it was a leak from inside Germany, meaning someone within the German military brass high enough leaked that audio to the Germans, to the Russians. All in all, it's either insider threat or hack. Either way, not a good look for the Germans, not a good look at all. Germany for itself, for those who don't understand, is really divided on the Russia-Ukraine war. While the German leadership feels like they should be supporting Ukraine, they don't feel like they should be supporting Ukraine with advanced ammunition. This conversation was the German military brass essentially saying we should supply them with the type of munition to take down strategic points for the Russians, including the only bridge that connects mainland Russia to Crimea, a territory they annexed from the Ukraine in 2014. All in all, not a good look there and something extremely significant. Government agencies on Thursday warned organizations of an ongoing Phobos ransomware attack targeting government, education, emergency services, healthcare, and other critical infrastructure sectors. Since May of 2019, Phobos has been operating under the ransomware as a service business model. They've successfully extorted several millions of dollars from victims, according to the CISA, FBI, and MSISAC in a joint advisory. Their TTP, like based on similar TTPs, Phobos is linked to ransomware variants such as Back My Data, Dovos, Aid, Elking, and Fost, and it has been deployed in conjunction with tools popular among cyber criminals, including Cobalt Strike, Smoke Loader, and Bloodhound. Now, the threat actors are leveraging have notably deployed remote access tools to establish remote connection within the compromised network. They've been seen running legitimate executables to deploy additional payloads with elevated privileges, modifying system firewall configurations to bypass network defenses, and using Windows startup folders to run registry keys to maintain persistence. Again, boot level type of access, really, really the key right now for so many ransomware operators, and something to keep in mind. There is a high likelihood of this types of attacks, and the MSISAC are urging organizations to implement the mitigations in order to reduce the risk. Taiwan's biggest telco, Chunghwa Telecom, was breached, and now all of that data is sitting on the dark web. The hackers, believed to be backed by the Chinese government, made off with 1.7 terabytes worth of data following the compromise, and now have put it all up for sale on the dark web. The Defense Ministry confirmed this all on March 1st. The initial analysis of the case is that the Chinese-based attackers obtained Chunghwa Telecom's sensitive information, sold it on the dark web, including documents from the Armed Forces, Foreign Affairs Ministry, Coast Guard, and other units. The defense says no confidential information was leaked there. But obviously, you kind of see that play by China, very similar to the Russian play on Germany, where we take your telecom data, we're focused on your telecom data, we're going to take it for our own purposes, but then we're also going to sell it in order to not make it seem like it's state-sponsored. Fulton County, my home county here in the great state of Georgia, is still working on recovering from the ransomware attack experienced earlier this year. The attack started in late January. It temporarily crippled government services in Fulton County, including most of Atlanta. Atlanta, no stranger to ransomware attacks. I mean, if you can recall, the city of Atlanta going through one in 2017. The hackers' deadline passed Thursday, less than 2 weeks after law enforcement agencies announced that they disrupted LockBit. LockBit was responsible for the Fulton County ransomware attack, and LockBit has now resurfaced, and they've renewed their threat against Fulton County. Rob Pitts, the Fulton County commissioner, commission chairman, said that we're not aware of any data being released so far. We'll see how the county continues to recover from this. Obviously, Fulton County highly disputed at the moment. Change Healthcare is confirming, Black Hat is behind the ransomware attack on its company. After days of posting the same updates online about a cybersecurity issue, they've now said it's been perpetrated by cybercrime threat actor who represented itself as Alpha 5, aka Black Hat. Reuters first reported Monday that the cybercrime group, whose malware has been linked to high-profile attacks like MGM last summer, was responsible for the incident. The attack began on February 21st. Prompting Change Healthcare to disconnect its system. Now, the business impact here is significant. Since this attack's been going on now, nearly 10 or 12 days later, I was at a pharmacy yesterday and I was just asking the pharmacist at the local Publix here, how are you guys doing? And they're saying they haven't been able to fulfill prescriptions. They've had to go back to a very paper type method because of the impact of Change Healthcare has had on their operations, especially for United Health prescribers. So this has had significant impact downstream on many people in the United States. That's 12 days rolling, y'all. I mean, literally yesterday with the pharmacist at the store, I go, how are you guys dealing with this? We're dealing. A team of researchers have developed a malware designed to target modern PLCs in an effort to demonstrate that a remote Stuxnet type of attack can be launched against ICS systems. The researchers are from the Georgia Institute of Technology, or Georgia Tech, and they've published a paper detailing the ICS security project. in case if traditional PLCs, an attacker can target the control logic layer or the firmware layer. Firmware attacks can provide a high level of device control and are difficult to detect, but the malware could be challenging to deploy. So all in all, a really, really interesting read. You kind of see the graph they drew up of how they would take advantage of this style of attack. One cannot underestimate the fact that this came out of a college group. What are nation states doing with this same information? A new phishing kit named Crypto Chameleon is being used to target the FCC employees using especially crafted single sign-on pages for Okta that appear remarkably similar to the originals. The same campaign also targets users and employees of cryptocurrency platforms like Binance, Coinbase, Kraken, and Gemini using phishing pages that impersonate Okta, Gmail, iCloud, Outlook, Twitter, now X, Yahoo, and AOL. The attackers orchestrate a complex phishing and social engineering attack consisting of email, SMS, and voice phishing to deceive victims in entering sensitive information on those phishing pages, like their usernames, passwords, and in some cases, even photo IDs. It's a multi-pronged attack to get access to those environments. And again, they're using this in order to gain access. And again, this goes into the new modern kill chain, which we have to explore and will be doing so in the coming weeks. And finally, our Department of Justice has not learned a thing yet. In another win for the Iranians, because every time we do this, we essentially give Mahek Rayan Afraz, an Iranian IT company, Ali Razi Shafi Naseb, a 39-year-old who works for an Iranian IT company with ties to the IRGC. He's now wanted. Apparently, there's charges against him, but he'll never leave Iran. He doesn't have anything here. He's just a simple guy, but this will be his trophy and pride in Iran. Our ability to lack to understand the mindset of our enemies baffles me anew, day in and day out. We see it in Germany. We're watching it in Taiwan. We're seeing it in Israel. We're seeing it out of the Biden White House when it comes to Hamas. And now we're seeing it from Biden's DOJ. Again, you can launch all these charges. You can say this person's wanted. It's best to put an Interpol red notice on this person. Keep it underground. Instead, the DOJ is trying to justify taxpayer dollars on something, on someone you can't bring to prosecution. You don't have an extradition treaty from Iran. He's not going to leave Iran. So, and if he's leaving Iran, he's going to China, North Korea, or Russia. And they don't have extradition treaties with you. So are you hoping he goes to Dubai and you capture him there, offering $10 million for a guy, I mean, for a 20-year prison sentence? So we're essentially paying $200,000 or whatever it is to bring this guy in. I mean, come on. Be better, DOJ. Be better. Stealthy. Silence works much stronger with our enemies. Much, much stronger. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back live 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow with all the latest and greatest cybersecurity stories. Make sure to check out our Substack. If you've got a story you want us to cover, you can always drop it on our website at cyberhubpodcast.com or DM me on LinkedIn. Until then, have a great rest of your day, and most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.